Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on Ikhlas, Niyat. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, qala an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la hijrata ba'd al-fathi, walakin jihadun wa niyatun, wa idha stunfirtum fanfiru, muttafaqun alayhi. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no migration after the conquest of Makkah, but there is jihad and intention. And when you are commanded to go in jihad, then you should go. So what does hadith mean? That there is no migration after the conquest of Makkah, after the Fathi Makkah. In the 80 of Hijrah, Makkah Sharif was now conquered. Initially what had happened was, it was compulsory, it was necessary. Before Makkah Sharif was conquered, in the 80 of Hijrah, it was necessary for Muslims staying in Makkah Mukarramah to make Hijrah to Madinatul Munawwarah. Because Makkah al-Mukarramah at that time was very, very difficult to practice Islam. So now it was necessary for a person to make hijrah, to leave the land of Makkah Sharif and go to Medina Sharif. But once Makkah Sharif now was conquered in the 80 after hijrah, so now there was no need anymore, because now it was Darul Islam. So now a person didn't need to make hijrah. So that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, La hijrata ba'd al-fath. Now it's not compulsory for a person to make hijrah after Fath Makkah. But however, walakin jihadun wa niyatun, however jihad is still there and niyat is still there. In other words, if there's a need for you to go out in jihad, then you should go out for jihad. And this aspect of making niyat, of moving, of going out, that is still there. So ulama explained from this, that when a person is living in Darul Kufr, that place, that land, where he is controlled, under the control, complete control of the kuffar, person can't practice his Islam at all there in that place. Now for that person, it is necessary for him to move out from there and to move to Darul Islam. And if a person is staying in Darul Islam, then it is better, good for him, not to go out from there to Darul Kufr. So why? Because he's staying in a place where he can practice his Islam freely, where his Islam and his Iman is secure. And this is the fundamental, most important thing for a person to bear in mind. However, if a person moves to a place where his iman is secure, where there is easy and he's able to practice his deen, and there may be some other benefits for a person moving, leaving one land, make hijrah to another land. There is some benefits for him financially, there is benefits for him from an Islamic perspective, then also it will be permissible for a person to move. What the hadith here is specifically speaking about is where a person now is making hijrat, or there is no need for him to make hijrat anymore after Fath Makkah. However, this aspect of going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jihad, that when it is necessary, it will still remain necessary. And from this point, ulama now bring the other points, when a person can make hijrat, when he should make hijrat, and when he shouldn't make hijrat. Next hadith, Nabi Abdullah Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhu qala kunna ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ghazatin faqala inna bil madinati lirijalan ma sirtum masiran wala qata'atum wadiyan illa kanu ma'akum habasahum al-marad wa fi riwayatin illa sharakukum fil ajr rawahu Muslim wa rawahu al-Bukhari an Anas radiallahu anhu qala raja'na min ghazwati Tabuk ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqala inna aqwaman خلفنا بالمدينة ما سلكنا شعبا ولا واديا إلا وهم معنا حبسهم العذر. This hadith shows us the power of niyat. That the person sometimes is unable to do something, but in his heart he got that niyat that I want to do something, or if I was in a position where I could have done it, I would have done it. So it's showing us what a powerful thing niyat is. So this hadith explains as Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari radiallahu anhu narrates, and he says, we were once with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a military expedition when he said, there are some people who remain behind in Madinah Sharif. They were with you when you traversed any path. So now they remain behind in Madinah Sharif. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling the Sahaba that they were with you. In other words, they were in Madinah, but they were still with you. They were with you when you traversed any path or crossed any valley. It was only that illness kept them back. Another narration says, however, they will share the reward with you. Bukhari Sharif narrates, from Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, that we returned from the battle of Tabuk with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, there are some people who remain behind in Madinah Sharif, but we did not traverse any path or any valley without them sharing the reward with us. A valid excuse kept them back. We do not traverse any part, refers to this ayat, وَلَا يَقْطَعُونَ وَادِيًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And every valley that they cross will be recorded for them, so that Allah Ta'ala rewards them better than what they did. So what happened in the ninth year after Hijrah, the Battle of Tabuk took place. The Battle of Tabuk was actually known as the Expedition of Tabuk. It was a very, very difficult one. It was the last one that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam took part here against the Romans, but they had retreated. But the Sahaba still had to undergo that arduous journey. It was extremely hot. It was around the date harvesting season. Now we know there in Medina Sharif, around the time when they harvest the dates, it is midsummer, extreme heat and extreme difficulty the Sahaba had to go out. It comes in the Sirah Kitabs that they hardly had any liquids also to hydrate themselves. They would slaughter an animal, they would take that intestine from the animal and they'll squeeze the intestine to get some liquid to try and hydrate themselves. They would drink that. That was their liquids also that they would take just to keep themselves hydrated. It was such a difficult journey. It was such a hard journey. And in this, now returning from this journey, can you imagine how much of difficulty? On one side, Medina and Munawara, the dates were ready to be plucked, ready to be harvested. It was the time when the whole year they would work for and try and get some money and reap something from that harvesting season. It was that time, and just before they can harvest, now it is a call to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it wasn't an easy expedition. It was very, very difficult. In fact, it's also known as Jaysh al-Usra. Jaysh al-Usra. Usra means difficulty. It was known as that army of difficulty. They experienced extreme difficulty in this battle. But after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them that there are some people that haven't joined you. There are some people who remain behind in Medina Sharif, but we did not traverse any path or any valley without them sharing in the reward with us. What happened? A valid excuse kept them back. So here ulama explained that how powerful that niyat is. That these people had to go out in the path of Allah, traverse and make all that, undergo on all the difficulty, but there are some that remain behind, but the power of the niyat was such that they got all the reward that you got. Allah Ta'ala mentions in one ayat of the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ لَا يُشِيبُهُمْ ضَمَأُوا وَلَا نَصَبُوا وَلَا مَخْمَصَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَطَعُونَ مَوْطِئٍ يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارِ وَلَا يَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That is because a good deed will be recorded for them for every bit of thirst, tiredness and hunger that afflicts them in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as for every step that they take by which the disbelievers are angered, and anything that they take from the disbelievers, surely Allah Ta'ala does not put the reward of the righteous ones to waste. So every step that they take, the people that go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every difficulty, every tiredness, every hunger, every thirst that they experience, they're getting rewarded. But those people that had valid excuses and remained behind, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us that they're also getting rewarded. So ulama from this hadith explained to us that if a person makes niyat to do something good, for example, he makes niyat that he's going to wake up for tahajjud salat. Now sleep overpowers him. Allah Ta'ala will make it such that he'll get the reward, full reward of his tahajjud salat. Why? Because he made niyat for it. So like that, he made niyat to do something good. For example, niyat to go for hajj, and now he gets ill, he gets sick, or there's some excuse that something happens, person gets rewarded for that. So therefore, don't sacrifice the niyat. Niyat is such a powerful thing that even people being the highest act, the act of jihad, would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those people that made niyat, they're getting the same reward. So niyat is something that doesn't decrease the reward, it actually increases the reward and allows the person to share, even though he may not physically be able to do the same thing. Similarly for a poor person, he doesn't have the money, but he has niyat in his heart, oh Allah, if I have the money someday, I'll build one masjid. If I have the money someday, I'll build one madrasa. If I have the money someday, I'll help all the poor. So now according to his niyat, he's getting rewarded, even though he doesn't physically have that money. So here we learn that niyat is a very, very powerful thing. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.